everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy with your two favorite Grey's Anatomy Academy hosts. I am Kelsey.
And I'm Carmen, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast, and ya boy is so sleep deprived. Man, Phoenix, just got back from Phoenix yesterday night. Man, 3 days of no sleeping, basically. But you know what the more important thing is go to Instagram, follow us at Grey's Academy Pod. Go to patreon.com/Grey's Academy. Follow us. You're in for a treat today. Give us a 5-star review wherever you listen. We've got some shout outs to do. We've got some new Patreon members. Everything is amazing. And like I told Kelsey right before we started to record, Caleb Williams is the next coming of Tom Brady and Peyton Manning's love child, but even better, he's going to be the greatest quarterback of all time. And I know that because I'm a giant Chicago Bears fan.
When I tell you, no one's going to know who that is because no one else is a Bears fan.
Oh, there's Bears fans out there. If you're Bears fans, hit my DMs, chime in. Let's do this.
Is there like, what do Bears fans say?
Dot Bears.
Ah, right.
But also we say bear down.
Ew. I don't love that.
We're all about going down here in Chicago, going down on each other. Everything is consensual and always fair and just.
I had to follow. Why were you awake? Why didn't you sleep when you were in Phoenix?
Well, so it was for a work conference.
Right, which is why I feel like you probably had ample time for sleeping.
No. So these people party, dude. First off, I was in, I left Chicago at 6:15 a.m., which means that I had to be up by 3 and out the door by like 4-ish to get to the airport by 4:30. And then didn't sleep all the way until like midnight that night. And then I was up at 7 the next day. So like, don't at me. I know that's a full night of sleep, but like, don't at me.
Also, but a then, full night of sleep on a completely, I mean, they're not on the same time zone as you are, right?
No, yeah. So it's a different time zone.
Or sleep.
No, I got the same amount of
sleep. Behind.
No. Shut up. Then I was up from 7 until two a.m. the next day because they had an awards dinner and then an after party, and then people went to the bars after the after party. So these people drink, and I did drink. I drank for the first time this year.
So you're off. You're off your soberness.
I'm back on as of yesterday.
As of right now, because I'm not drunk right now.
Yeah. But it was fun. I have to send you some pictures. I wore a green suit. I wore a lot of good shoes. For any sneakerheads out there, I wore the Green Bean Retro 5s. I wore the Chicago Retro 2s. I wore the original Royal Colorway Penny Foam Posits. And I wore...
I don't know that anyone comes to this podcast for your list of shoes.
Okay.
I don't want to be mean, but the shoes you posted on Instagram were just not cute, my opinion.
The ones I just got, the ones I just posted.
Yeah.
Okay, anyone out there listening, these are the Galaxy Retro Foam Posits. People died over the original release of these shoes, and they're I never had them because I wasn't risking dying. But I got these online, and I am like over them. I'm literally over the moon. It's no pun intended.
I'm
but
happy
they are,
for you that I'm you happy are too. Happy about them. Yeah. They're not for me.
That's okay.
They're okay. Quite a statement.
Jessica, well, I will never wear those. These are shoes that I actually will never wear, probably.
Then why did you buy them?
To own them, Kelsey.
That's psychotic behavior. I need to talk to the therapist about this.
Do you wear those board games?
I don't. There's no board games over there because I moved all of the board games upstairs. I don't want to have all the board games. If it was up to me, I would sell them all.
Well, I did actually notice last week.
If anyone else lived in my house, they probably would play them with Michael because he would play them any given day. I just won't.
I did notice that that room is looking nice. So
thank you. We're working on it. We've
what's hanging in the wall over there?
Those are pictures that I got for Michael for Christmas. They're like blueprints of different ride vehicles from Disney.
Ah, nice. Okay. Yeah, we got shout outs.
We do. We have two new Patreons. We have Heidi.
Heidi! Heidi, 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 hi.
And Caitlin.
Caitlin! Caitly, 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 Kate.
I was like, you better sing a song.
I'm gonna. Listen, it is so, who was I, one of them I was messaging and they're like, I just joined the Patreon. And I don't think I responded to them yet, but it was Caitlin. And also, let me just tell you, Caitlin, shout out to you. I was messaging them. They found us through Spotify and they have the cutest little corgi named Churro.
Oh my God, I saw that.
So cute, right?
I was like, I've died.
Yeah.
Also, why every corgi I've ever met has had a food name, and I love it so much.
It's Cheddar, so Churro.
I have met one named Snickers.
Amazing.
Gabe said he wanted to get a corgi and name it Bagel, which is an incredible name for a corgi, in my opinion.
I feel like if I ever had a corgi, I would want to name him or her, because this is a gender-neutral name, Avocado Toast. So dibs, if I ever get a corgi, dibs
what
on that name.
What would you call it?
Full name, Avocado Toast.
You're so weird about dog names with the full names.
So we don't call Vanellope Princess Vanellope von Schweetz every time. She's in the official database of our vet as that, but she's just Vanellope. But Marlo refers to her as Vanellope von Schweetz.
But is she in the vet's database? Princess Vanellope von Schweetz Magnolo.
Yes.
That's the best.
Yeah. But I was very clear when I brought her in. I was like, please do not call her Princess for short. Her name is Vanellope or Vanellope von Schweetz, not
it's just
Princess.
Her title.
Yes. Like, General was Grievous's title. His exactly. name was Grievous Magnolo.
Yeah. No one calls Faz the captain.
No. Idiots.
No, I mean, Jinx's name is Jinx Anne Marie, but I call her Jinx unless she's in trouble, because you need more syllables for when you're angry, but you also have to be able to say the name and stay angry. And I fear if you had to say Avocado Toast angry, you would not be able to stay angry.
That's fair. Avocado Toast, don't shit in the house.
just how I feel.
That is funny. All right. So I want to shout out Greg, who was listening to the podcast and said that they're at the episode where we were talking about Pokemon Go and sent me their friend code. I will add you today,
that's
Greg.
Nice.
So I'm going to add you.
That game.
I still do. I know I shouted out Aaron last week, but Aaron, shout you out again. Loved getting to be a part of the it's her friend, I think, is the first time listener, so definitely want to keep that going, and message me your friend's name so I can shout them out too. And then another Erin, this was a response where she wanted to make sure that she's talking about eggnog. We've seen both the Midwest alcoholic and non-alcoholic eggnog, so want to make sure I shouted out the other Erin. I want to shout out Bryson had sent me, there's a TV show that has Ellen Pompeo in it called Good American Family. So I'm wondering if that's something that I should watch. Our Patreon listener, Jamie, had sent me some messages back in January that I didn't realize that I didn't read. So that's on me. She was just... in January, I'm sure she's probably caught up at this point, but she's our Jamie is our Patreon listener, where Christina tells Bailey and Alex about Izzy's cancer. So like, Jamie's catching up with us, and she loves our friendship. She said it reminds basically of all the friendships that she has in her life, and also she said this directly to me, probably because I'm a straight white man, and so many straight white men are terrible these days, but thanking me for being an ally of the LGBTQ+ community. But everyone who listens for more than 5 seconds knows that Kelsey and I both feel very strongly about this. So, yes, we love the community. And then I wanted to shout out Clara from, let's see, Clara, where were you listening from? Clara from Denmark. Clara, Denmark. Thank you. Or maybe it's Clara, Clara. Either way, from Denmark. We love it. Thank you. And I think that's it. If there's anyone that I'm missing, I feel really bad. There's just so much stuff going on.
I did want to, we got an email from Lindsay, and I want to shout her out because she's a first responder who worked with ambulance on the ambulance. So she's in the medical field. So we might have to have some chats with her and get some accuracy on. Michael is telling me there's a new show on HBO called The Pit.
Yes.
Because it's a ER, but it's in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
And he hasn't watched it, but he was watching like doctors react to it. And the consensus is that it's like one of the most medically accurate medical shows ever to be on TV, essentially, because it's on HBO, they can show a lot. So he was like, if you do decide to watch this, prepare yourself. It's graphic.
I had heard about that from one of my receptionists, actually. Yes, they said apparently
it's very correct, but also gross.
Yeah. Okay, before we jump in, one last shout out. Tegan, who is starting from season one in her rewatch, so listens whenever she's driving. So drive safe, Tegan, when you get caught up to us in like 100 years.
Someone messaged me and was like, yeah, did you ever figure out the math on getting caught up? And I was like, yes, it's like 4 years, because Carmen can't watch more than an episode of television in a week unless it's literally any other show.
That's it, not even Private Practice. I couldn't do it. I haven't watched another episode of a different show in months.
Then why are you trying to watch Ellen Pompeo's new show?
Oh, it's a show. I thought it was a movie.
You just said it's a show.
Did I say show?
You did say show, and we have it on record, so...
Listen, maybe I said show, but maybe it was a cry for help. There's like a gun to my head, and I meant to say,
right,
okay. Anyways.
Okay. So this is episode 16 of the 8th season of Grey's Anatomy. It is the 164th episode overall, and it is called If Only You Were Lonely, and that is a song.
If Only You Were Lonely is a song by The Replacements, which is a punk rock band. Nothing that I was able to find information-wise about that specific song, but I can tell you about the album. It's from Sorry Ma, Forgot to Take Out the Trash, and it is the debut album for The Replacements. It was released August 25th, 1981. So, The Replacements, punk rock band, you know, it's not my cup of tea, but like the early 80s punk rock is kind of like what started, obviously, like, you know, bands like Blink-182 and Green Day, My Chemical Romance. They felt a lot of those as their inspirations. But this album did not chart anywhere, but it had a decent critical reception. It has 5 stars on punknews.org, for whatever that means, you know. But
were you already familiar with The Replacements?
I was familiar with The Replacements. I don't have, but I only know about them because they are talked about by some of those other bands
as like inspiration.
Yeah,
I see.
So
just curious.
That's like The Cure. I don't really listen a ton to The Cure or like The Clash or like those kind of bands, those like
punk has definitely evolved over the years since when it started to like what it is now.
Yeah. But I still respect The Drip big time. The song was actually pretty good. It's not going into my iTunes library only because it was kind of like a demo bonus track. But it's good. I would definitely take a listen to it. And I'm going to give it objectively a 2, subjectively a 3, but still it's not making it in my iTunes library.
Yeah. Okay. This episode was written by Matt Byrne and directed by Susan Vail. It aired February 23rd. Today is February 26th. To 9.06 million views, so up a little from last week. The Netflix synopsis is, as Adele's condition deteriorates, Richard considers making a change, which is one thing that happens in this episode.
But yeah,
a lot of other things that happen in this episode. So unsurprisingly, not a great synopsis, but whatever.
I rarely do this. I think I do a pretty good job at avoiding this, but I actually accidentally looked at the
Synopsis,
like midway through the episode with one of the times that I pause and rewind.
Yeah, it does put it up, which is annoying.
Yeah. Luckily, there was no spoilers in it.
Yeah.
And I had already seen, like, I think at this point, Richard had already taken Adele to, what's it called? Rose Ridge.
Yeah.
So I knew that this was obviously something that was, like, he was contemplating. I'm just glad it wasn't, like...
This episode threw me for a loop because I think it all happened in one day, which is very not Grey's. And I only know that because, like, at the end, Adele says, we went there earlier today. And I was like, oh. Okay. So,
well, but you know, we need some of those table setting
with Grey's time frames. We never know.
So, oh man, sorry, delayed on my sleep here. Hey, podcast on. Shout out. Wait, actually, hold on. I think we actually have a new. Did I mention the last time we had a new review on Apple? We might have. If we already talked about this, I don't remember, but it's called Hi at 5 stars, SE1206. You guys are awesome. Listen to this podcast, Pastime at Work, and it has made me laugh out loud several times. I love being reminded of my fave Grey's episodes and all the antics of my fave characters. Thanks.
Thank you.
I think I did read that last week, but it's okay. Oh. I did it again.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I don't either. Okay, so this episode, some things happen,
and some things
don't happen, and it's just like, it was coming to an end, and I was like, taking my notes, and I was like, is anything gonna happen? Because I feel like nothing's happened.
Yeah, so Christina's like, being a weirdo about this girl.
Episode. It was just not like, you know. When you come off of a lot of Grey's episodes where it's so high stakes and then you have something where it's just like, oh, well, we're furthering the plot, which is the point. But I'm just like, OK, is anything going to happen? So I don't think Christina's being weird. I think she's has concerns. I hesitate to call her names because of how much Owen sucks. In my
opinion. What do you mean? Oh, to call Christina. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Here's what I needed in this episode. That this is something that happened, and I think I needed it. I needed, with this Owen storyline, so there's clearly still tension with Owen and Teddy.
Mm-hmm.
Christina is seemingly, and we have that scene where Meredith kind of calls her out a little bit, she's making things up in her head, which, like, mm-hmm. it's okay. Paranoia through what they're going through makes sense. It's justified. Well, I guess it's not justified, but it's understandable, right?
Right.
And we get that scene. It's a very kind of almost throwaway scene because nothing happens after it, where Callie's in the stairwell and she's like, oh, dude, like, you got the grant for Teddy. Amazing. And he's like, yeah, but you can't tell her. And she's like, okay, but I'm going to. And then nothing happens from that, right? Like, there's no conflict. But there's this kind of a throwaway scene where she's like, you were acting as a chief. Like, you did what you had to do. You're not a bad guy. And no one's like, how do you know? And I'm like, that's fair. You don't.
Yeah. Like, that thing isn't what made you a bad guy.
Right.
But you are a bad guy and not in the Wreck-It Ralph way.
Yeah.
In the actual bad way where it does make you a bad guy.
Yeah. What's their, They're villains thing. I'm a bad guy, but that doesn't make me a bad guy.
I'm bad. A bad guy doesn't mean I'm. Oh, fuck, that's gonna piss me off. I'm gonna have to find.
I'm gonna look this up. Yeah. Anyways,
Satine is like, just because you might be a bad guy, but that doesn't mean you are a bad guy.
Yes, I do love that.
No one I'd rather be than me. I remember that part. I'll never be good, and that's not bad. There's no one I'd rather be than me. That's the end of it.
Oh, you got it.
No, I don't remember the beginning of it. I may be bad, and that's, or I may not be good, and that's not bad. I'll never be. I don't remember. Do you have it? I got the end of it.
I'm gonna see if I can find the whole thing. I just don't know what to call it. Like, what the fuck?
tip typing away on my typing.
I can't find. I'll find it later. I'll look at it later. I can't find what the actual quote is.
There are so many people yelling at their car right now.
I know. And there's,
I found it.
Okay.
You didn't find it. I'm bad and that's good. I will never be good and that's not bad. There's no one I'd rather be than me.
Okay. There's someone whoever that person was who gave us less than a, or didn't like that there's so many pauses, is sitting in their car going, huh,
there's no way that girl still listens.
She did say that she loves the idea and the concept. So,
well, if she wants to give us enough money to pay an editor, then maybe she'll listen.
I love it. Pay us. So anyways, that scene was interesting because it gives insight to how the people around Owen view him.
Right.
So that was kind of an interesting moment for Shondaland. I'm wondering if that was like the blog posts were just lighting Owen up of like, Teddy, I'm so glad you finally told Owen how we all feel. Shout out Maddie. And it's like, you know, people shouldn't, that's why they pivoted April so much. Like, she was getting hate. Maybe Owen was getting hate and they needed a character inside the universe to say, Owen isn't a bad guy. He just made a bad choice. But that was like an interesting thing to me. I don't know if I'm looking too far into it or not.
I don't really know if Owen was getting hate. I don't think Owen gets enough hate. So I think we can all do more on the bullying Owen front.
Do you remember the first time watching, did you hate Owen?
At this point, yeah, because in my opinion, you can't come back from you killed our baby.
Yeah, that's her.
With the Teddy thing, I will say, because when she had the whole speech where she was like, fuck off, I wish you were dead, don't talk to me again unless it's work related, because she threw that in at the end, the implication is, don't talk to me again unless it's work related, in which I will maintain a professional
aura.
And I don't think she did that this episode, so it's easier for me to call her out this episode than with like that speech, because with the speech I'm like, I'm on your side, everything you feel is valid in my opinion. But in this I'm like, I'm fine if you hate him. I have had many jobs and I have worked with many people I hated and still never talked to them or acted that way in work. So I do think that you can have distaste for people that you work with, but also still like maintain a professional working relationship, especially because there is a power dynamic and he is the chief. Like, he is your boss. Like, I'm sorry, it sucks, but like, respectfully, he wasn't even doing anything. I don't think he was overstepping.
From what I understood, so Teddy was finishing up something with the lung and then Owen was going to do something with the arm. And he's like, well, let me help you finish. The way I'm understanding that is, maybe if he was in there helping finish, he would have had like a pulse on the situation sooner, so he's not going in blind.
Or like different access. I don't really know.
Yeah, different access. It's a good
to me, because typically in Grays, if someone is trying to do something that is like overstepping, the other people in the OR also call them out on it. And they're like, what the hell are you doing? But no one else was doing that. So I kind of just took it like Teddy was literally basically just like, get away from me.
Yeah.
Which, again, I respect, but I disagree with in this context, because he is not trying to be your friend. He is not trying to like chit chat about personal bullshit. Like, he's actually just trying to do his job. Which, again, we're getting back to like the, is this impacting the patient care? Which was my issue with Bailey in the surgery with Mark and Jackson. So it's like, And to me, that doesn't track with the characters, because they're very good doctors and they can normally like separate the personal stuff when it comes to the patient care. So that's why it's like frustrating to watch, because, well, with Teddy specifically, they also kind of, I thought that they set it up like, okay, well, we'll just be colleagues, but never talk to me like a friend again, which is fine.
That was the perception I also got.
And so then for this to happen, you're like, oh, well, that's not even a little bit what we're doing. So okay.
And also there's, so this whole kind of like interaction is set up by clearly Ted. Why no one in this show knows how to give a presentation or like prep or plan. Like,
that was also awkward. But Teddy has previously been bad at that. Other people are good at it. Callie's been good at it.
But who, like, else was really bad at it? Was Arizona the one that
Arizona
was bad at it?
Arizona was pretty bad at it because Callie got in her head.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, man, Callie. That's so funny. But that they she's doing this like presentation about the stem cells on heart, and she wants a grant for some funding, and
she wants to, like, grow hearts.
Yeah, in a test tube. She clearly can't get it.
Definitely would be granted today in this administration.
Yeah.
Everything's going great in America, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways,
we don't have enough time.
Hashtag not my doge.
We don't have enough time.
Yeah. That'll be a Patreon episode someday. And also, yeah, never mind. It's whatever. So
it's a bummer is what it is.
It's a bummer. they're eating the dogs.
No one was eating dogs.
No one was
and
eating
dogs. That's just the president.
The story is gone. It miraculously went away, weirdly.
So strange. But the measles are still here, so that's great.
Well, first confirmed death of measles in Texas. Great job, Texas.
Good job. Good job. Good job, measles. You're doing it.
Making a comeback. This is your year. Don't call it a comeback.
Have you seen the thing that's like, I fear 2025 is just 3 2020s stacked inside of a trench coat?
That is so funny. I have not seen that.
Yes.
Also, remind me later. I have a joke that Jamie sent me. It's a really, really funny joke. So I don't remember what I was saying. Anyways, so basically Callie goes to Hunt and is like, you should help Teddy get the thing. Like, get some pull. And Teddy acknowledges, he's like, my presentation is dead, just like my husband. Ha ha ha. And Arizona
like,
and Callie.
The good thing about when your husband dies is you don't care about anything anymore. And I was like, well, that's probably true.
Yeah. It's, I don't know how you go back to work. She probably didn't have life insurance on him either, which also is.
She probably did because they literally got married so he would have insurance.
But life insurance, it's all right. It's whatever. This is not a financial podcast. So Callie knows about all of it. Teddy doesn't. What an interesting story. Anyways, that's all I got.
I mean, I think it's just because Teddy and Callie are friends, and then Callie is the one that pushes Owen to put in a good word. And then when she says you should tell her, and he says, I'm not going to do that. And she's like, that's fine, but you can't, like, but that was fucked up. And he was like, well, she just needs someone to, like, be mad at, and it's fine if that's me. And she was like, that's fine, but not as a chief. Like, if you're acting as chief, she can't do that, which I agree with Callie.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't be a martyr, or it's fine. Be a martyr if you really feel like you need to, but, like, keep it out of the OR and, like, just be professional and be the chief. So,
well,
good,
like,
message.
And it's also, like, at a certain point, other people are seeing that happen. And, like, seeing you be okay with it. So that's like, yes, Teddy is being in the wrong, but, like, that's poor leadership to not, like, respond appropriately.
Yeah. I agree.
So, yeah, good stuff.
I mean, it's stuff. I wouldn't say it's good stuff. It's stuff.
Yeah, you know, if HR was there, maybe they would do something about it, but they're not, so.
HR is nowhere to be found, whether it's with that Mark and April scene. I think is actually my new favorite scene in this entire show.
You heard it here first. Carmen loves sexual harassment.
No. You heard it here first. Carmen loves sexual encouragement.
Not in the workplace.
No. Yeah, that's fair.
So, it is funny, but April's not wrong. It is sexual harassment.
It's for sure sexual harassment. Mark is in the wrong, but it's funny because it's a TV show.
The line with Mark and Jackson in this episode is funny. Do we have anything else on Owen and Teddy in general?
No, but I'm going to predict that Teddy... predict. Yeah. What did I say?
Predict?
Predict. I'm going to predict that Teddy will find out that Owen did that. And they're going to have sex.
Oh my God.
They're not going to have sex. I'm predicting
it. Insane prediction. Yeah, it's like when Rachel found out that Ross was going to take her to prom, and for some reason she was like, oh my God, you're amazing. And I was like, he still sucks.
Mm. Yeah. Oh,
Ross sucks too, guys. I don't only hate men in grays. I also hate Ross Geller.
I love anytime the meme reel comes in where it's like Friends, but Ross is just a schizophrenic. You ever see those?
I hate him so much.
It's just him talking to himself, and they AI edited out all the other characters. He's just talking to himself.
That's like when in You, the Netflix show You, which is about to come back and I'm very excited about. I know you haven't watched it, but like a lot of it is his voiceovers in his head, like narrating. But Netflix will release clips that's like You without the narration. And it's like someone talking to Joe, which is the main guy. And then him just like not responding for like 30 seconds, like way longer than is acceptable, because that's where the narration normally would be. And then responding, and it's so much more awkward and uncomfortable.
So we're, before we take a break, because I have a joke coming out of this, I need you to explain to me. Skip like 45 seconds ahead if you're behind on this show. I am not watching it, but I know there are people who are watching it. I saw the clip where I think he's at the dinner with a girl and they have a baby and she goes away, but she comes back and he grabbed the knife and she poisoned him through the knife.
Yeah.
What happened after that?
He knew that she was going to be doing that, so he had been like building up his tolerance. So he was able to kill her.
Oh, he killed her.
She died and he faked his own death, and then he moved to London.
Wow, that show is wild. Is that the end of the season?
That was the season finale of season 3. Yeah.
And what season are they on now?
They're about to do season 5. It's the final season, and I am almost certain it will end with him dying. Like, I just don't see how they could end that show and not kill him off. But maybe they will. I don't know.
All right.
I just feel like that's how they're gonna end it.
That's wild. I watched a couple episodes of that show. I think Jess watched it, and I'm like, this is too much for me.
It's
can't.
It's so good. I love it. I think it's so well done.
It looked well done from what I saw.
Penn Badgley, who plays Joe Goldberg, is, I think, an attractive young man. And it's so funny, when it first came out, people, like girls, were getting online and being like, oh my God, like I wish, like I would let him kidnap me. Or like, is it weird that I want Joe to kidnap me? And he would like respond, because they would tag him in these tweets, and he would like respond and be like, yes, that's weird. You should talk to a therapist. This is a bad man. Like, this man is bad.
That's really funny. All right. Capitalism, take it away.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
And we are back. Hopefully it was the good kind of capitalism, not the bad kind.
I don't think there's good capitalism unless you're a rich person.
And I mean, I guess that's fair. So let me tell you this joke. So this guy goes to a costume party. And he's dressed up in normal clothes, but there's this woman on his back, like a backpack, dressed in normal clothes. She's hanging on to him, arms and legs. And they go into this party. They sit down at a table. And some person comes up to them and goes, "What are you doing here?" And he's like, "I'm here for the costume party." And the guy goes, the person at the party goes to him and goes, "You're just a random guy." And he's like, "No, I'm not a random guy. My name is Ben." And he goes, "Okay, but that's a random person on your back." And he goes, "No, I'm here at the costume party as a snail." And the guy at the party goes, "Okay, but you haven't addressed my question. There's a random person on your back." And Ben goes, "No, it's not a random person. That's Michelle."
Interesting.
Because he's a snail at the costume party.
Yeah, I get it.
All right. Amazing. Let's continue. So, Mark Jackson.
So, do you actually think that Teddy and Owen will, like, move past this? Because
I do actually think they will, but it's a long time. And I don't think that her finding out about the grant is it. In fact, I think that she will find out about the grant and she'll be pissed off and they're going to fight and it's going to get worse before it gets better.
So just as an update, this was episode 16 and there are 24 episodes in the season. So we have 8 episodes left.
Teddy's going to find out next episode that Hunt got her the grant.
And she'll care, is your prediction?
She'll be mad, yeah.
Okay. She'll and care, then, not in a good way.
Not in a good, a bad care.
Yeah. Okay. So, yes. Mark and Jackson. Let's talk about Mark and Jackson, because they're being silly. Jackson is not his best self right now. He's very tense about the boards. And Mark is really convinced that that's just because he's not having sex. And I don't necessarily think that's true. There have been plenty of times when Jackson has not been having sex and has not been a turd. I think he really is just stressed about the boards. And I love Mark. Unfortunately, I do disagree with him that sex is always the solution, because sometimes it might be and sometimes it might not be.
I think that's a trope that TV shows do a lot, where it's like, oh, man, you're in such a bad mood. You got to get laid.
Yeah. You're grumpy. Have sex. Okay.
Yeah. Have grumpy sex.
May or may not solve the issue, but okay.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. That definitely is a TV movie trope situation where they're like, this will be so funny.
Yeah. And it is, their relationship is funny. Like when Jackson's a jerk to the paramedic and he's a jerk to Angie, the girl who had an espresso machine explode in her face. Like, that's terrifying.
Yeah, that's unsettling.
So he's a jerk to both of them. And Mark comes out and is like, "Bro, what's up?" And when Jackson is like, "I've been studying for the boards." And Mark says, "We have been studying for the boards, bro."
I know, and I was like, "That," but like, it doesn't matter if you've been studying, Mark. You already passed them.
Yeah.
Helping him doesn't mean that, like, it's okay that you're not stressed.
Yeah. It's simultaneously cute because he's trying to encourage him, but also, like, Mark, aren't you double board certified? Like, shut up.
The stakes aren't the same. They're just not. Also, it is really funny later when Derek's like, "How is your better half?"
And
Mark starts talking about Jackson, and Derek's like, "I meant Julia." Oh, so cute.
That whole engagement. They're in the nursery and Derek's like, "Man, all these racist ladies, I hate them." And Mark is like, "No, I get it. You're trying to bridge cultures together, bro. I learned Spanish."
I applaud Mark. When the fuck did he have time to learn Spanish? I applaud him, but I don't necessarily believe that he learned Spanish.
Oh, it's so funny.
But he did a very good job with his Spanish, I felt. I don't speak Spanish, so I could be wrong. Yeah, that was a weird story. We'll get into that with Derek and Zola later. That was a weird one for me.
Yeah.
So Mark's like trying to set Jackson up with everybody, April included, and then he like basically says, "April, wouldn't it be great if instead of study buddies you were fuck buddies?" And that's when she's like, "This is sexual harassment." He says, "No, it's sexual encouragement." Which is also sexual harassment.
Still, yeah, yes. I think
both
that's
can be true, I guess.
Yeah. It's one of those times where a positive word actually is a bad thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's just very, Jackson's very tightly wound. And I mean, I feel, and he says, like, it's kind of a throwaway comment, but Mark's like, you're going to do fine. And he says, I'm an Avery. I can't do fine. So he's definitely, this is kind of one of the times where he is letting his family name, like, really cause stress on him.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they don't super like unpack that, but they kind of throw it in there.
They're setting it up for his grandpa to come back in. His grandpa or his mom are going to come back within the next 5 episodes.
Okay.
Also the end scene where Mark is trying to get him on a double date with Julia and Julia's friend.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackson is, he doesn't admit it, but he's, the scene is alluding to he's still in love with Lexi.
Right. Well, because Mark fully says that and Jackson doesn't,
he doesn't
disagree.
Respond. Yeah. He doesn't disagree. Yeah.
So the assumption is that he is, but that's weird because they haven't really like done anything to allude to that before right now.
Yeah. The only thing they gave us was Jackson recognizing that Lexi showed up for steaks at Mark's house with Zola.
Yeah, on Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So I also think that was a little bit weird. I don't know.
It's not hard to believe because of the way they broke up. Like, it wasn't about, you know, oh, I don't have feelings for you. It wasn't anything like that. It was just like he was putting his career first, which whatever is fine. And so it's not hard for me to believe that like he does still have feelings. It's just kind of weird that they stopped mentioning it at all. And like him and Lexi have had plenty of scenes together with no like weird tension or anything since the breakup.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I really don't. I'm going to tell you guys right now, I don't want to see a storyline where there's a Jackson and Lexi, will they, won't they? I'm not interested.
Are you interested in Jackson and anybody?
Right now, I could live with Jackson or Alex with April and they're maybe being like a love triangle. But I also am okay with just Jackson vibing and focusing on the boards. Like, not everything has to be a relationship, you know, and that's actually one of the reasons that I don't want April and Jackson to hook up. Like, I want them to have an actual platonic friendship, but
yeah,
I fear that they're gonna make them bone.
Well, and I feel like it's just the whole thing with her, like they've built it up so much with her like being a virgin that it's like no matter now who, if or when she sleeps with anybody, it's going to be like this huge plot point.
Also, speaking of April, where is Stark? Is he? He's just gone. No one ever mentioned he's leaving. He's just gone. Arizona's.
That's correct. I think he might actually just be gone at this point. I thought he wasn't, and then he was.
I'm happy about that, but like, yeah, where is he?
Yeah, it was never addressed for sure.
I'm hoping at this point, like, he just shows up and goes, no one has been answering my pages. And then that's the scene.
And then just leaves.
And then I quit because no one's answering my pages.
Or if he just shows up and they're like, we've been paging you for like 4 months. Where have you been?
He goes, I've been eating tiramisu for 4 months.
Ugh, that's so dumb. Okay, so yeah, Mark. So Mark and Jackson have the patient, the barista girl, who the espresso. Not espresso machine.
Ugh.
Blows up in like and wounds her badly, and then yeah. Also like blows another man across the coffee shop.
Her boyfriend.
Yeah. So that was gross. And she's, bless her, she's not having a good day. Jackson's being mean. Her face is all burnt. And Meredith and Christina have the customer who is like in love with her and convinced that she is also in love with him. He's not right. She doesn't love him or know he exists. And let me just say this, and I am so sorry if this is news to anybody. Starbucks is beginning a policy that is company-wide corporate policy where they have to write a nice note on your cup when they give it to you.
Wait, really?
If you are getting that, I am so sorry. You are not special.
I got a heart on mine today.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I've been getting ones in Chicago. It mm-hmm. said you rock. That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know that, but like yeah. now, I mean, it's not cheapening it, but I liked it. I like that it's a corporate yeah. structure that they're actually doing something.
Yeah, but the issue is there have been people that like thank the baristas and they're like, thank you so much. I needed this. And the baristas are literally being like, yeah, they're making us do that.
Well, that's an inside thought. That's an in your brain thought. Don't, if someone clearly is like, oh, I was about to commit suicide today and this note saved my life. Don't be like, well, my CEO told me to do it. Like, shut up. Just take, just say, have a great day.
I'm gonna side with the Starbucks worker always because Nathan works at Starbucks. So also he had told me previously, like, that they were rolling that out. And so there were places that were rolling it out. Like, it's not officially like required, I think, until the end of the month, February. So like basically when this comes out, it'll be required everywhere. And so people were like starting it, even though it hadn't been required everywhere yet. And every time I would see someone post about it and be like, oh my God, how sweet. Like the barista just knew I needed this and they would post about it. And in my head, I'm like, you're not special, which is terrible, but also it's a little bit true.
Yeah. It's going to be different once baristas start saying, like, nice rack.
Well, or also, like, apparently there is a commercial where they essentially say that they're all doing it now. So it's not a secret. But I don't know. I just was like, once they figure out that it is supposed to be everywhere, then it's like, now I just feel bad that we're making the baristas do one extra thing. It's like 5 a.m. Everyone and their fucking brother is trying to get a coffee and probably half of them are being dicks about it, but also draw a smiley face. Like, it's just dumb. Like, you're not solving problems. You could just pay people a livable wage, but whatever.
I agree. That needs to be tied to give some of the profits that they're going to be feeling on that, because it's going to increase profits. It's going to make people want to come back to Starbucks. I will tell you that strategy will work. But give some of those earnings back to your employees. Let's raise their wages.
They're also getting rid of like a shit ton of drinks.
Like, I didn't know that.
Frappuccinos, I think they're getting rid of.
Really?
Yeah. They've just like released a statement about it. It was a bunch of drinks. And I remember looking through to be like, I don't drink coffee, but I know a lot of my friends do. And I was like, I wonder if I'll recognize any of these drinks. And I didn't, because I think most of them were like, obviously things that are purchased less, like the Frappuccinos, and then white hot chocolate, which I have gotten before, but it is very, very
wait rich. You mean like the white mocha?
No, I mean white hot chocolate.
But that's just milk with white mocha sauce.
No, it's white chocolate instead of milk chocolate. It's like, you know how when you have hot chocolate, it's brown because it's milk chocolate?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's white chocolate.
But when they make hot chocolates at Starbucks, they're just doing milk with the mocha syrup.
I don't think so.
I've worked at Starbucks. Probably
doing like Swiss Miss. Just kidding. That's what Disney does, though. Disney's doing Swiss Miss.
And you're paying $20 a cup, folks.
Good stuff.
Anyways, it doesn't matter. Starbucks.
Anyway, so the barista is following her job of like putting coffee decor on the lattes or whatever.
Yeah, like the little flowery stuff on top, whatever designs.
And he's like obsessed with her. His name is Devin and her name is Angie. And it's like, I feel like you're supposed to feel bad for him, but I don't feel bad for him.
I didn't feel bad for him. Okay, I was concerned that he was going to wake up and try to go kill the girl.
You are so off on your feelings lately.
It's Shonda. She's waiting for me to lower my guard.
Your guard down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Okay, that's interesting. I'm glad that you didn't feel bad for him, because I was like, am I supposed to feel bad for him? Because I really don't. And I'm on Christina's side where she's like, you just made it up in your head. You gotta let it go. And well, I don't think she was really that mean about it. Obviously, it was like tied one for one with what she was doing. But I don't think she was that mean about it. She was like, she just said she doesn't know who you are. Like, you gotta move on. Like, why would she lie about that?
I also am like, dude, have you ever been to a coffee store as a regular? Like, people will know your name. I was a regular at a taco place. They knew my name. Like, yeah. You gotta just... It's called customer service.
Well, she didn't know his name, but he knew hers. I'm like, okay, well, you know her name because she probably is wearing a fucking name tag.
Oh, that's right. She knew his order.
She knew his order.
Yeah.
And to Christina's point, she's correct when she says that's just her job, which is true. Honestly, in my opinion, that's above and beyond for a barista to like know a regular's order. I mean, it's great, but I don't know. I don't drink coffee, but my thing about like, if you know someone's going to come in your coffee shop and you see them coming and you, like, do you wait for them to get there and say, do you want your regular or do you prepare it previously? Cause I'm like, what if they want something different?
I would be of the mindset of, hey, good to see you. Are you still wanting the Trenta cold brew with 5 pumps of caramel brulee and heavy cream?
That sounds like so much sugar. I don't even know what that is, but that sounds like a lot of sugar.
It's basically nothing.
Is that what you're drinking right now?
It's like a celery. No, they're out of the caramel
like
brulee.
Like a celery? You're so stupid. I hate you.
It's
you're not getting any negative calorie drinks from Starbucks. I'll tell you that right now.
That's fair. Because coffee, black coffee has calories.
Yeah, yeah.
Although... Let's see. I mean, if you drink iced coffee, black or hot coffee, it's probably, I don't know, 10 to 50 calories for just coffee.
Yeah, it's probably significantly less everything than anything else you can get there.
Right. But then I'm thinking if it takes, you know, 200 calories worth of body energy to burn it off, technically, I think it would be negative calories.
Yes, if you have, yeah, the whole thing of negative calories is it takes your body more calories to consume it than it has. So like with celery, it takes, even just chewing it is going to burn more calories than celery has.
Yeah.
Pepper is also a negative calorie food.
Oh, like black pepper or peppers?
Like salt and pepper.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe that pumpkin pie is also a negative calorie.
Alas, it's not. I'm so sorry to ruin your life.
Okay. I guess that makes sense with all the weight gain.
I did try the new blackberry sage refresher.
Did you like it?
It was good, but I got it with, with the strawberry refresher, I get half peach juice, half water.
Ah.
And it tastes like the peachy rings. And with this one, I got half water, half apple juice, and I thought it was delightful.
Mm. They also have a thing called the midnight drink. I haven't tried that yet.
I haven't either, but is it coffee?
I think it's like a refresher, but I don't know what flavor is. And I think it's just the blackberry refreshery thing, but with maybe some sort of coconut milk instead or something.
I also tried the cranberry one that they had at Christmas and it was really only okay.
Oh, I loved that. I thought it was really good.
I thought it was fine.
You know, I miss the cranberry Sprite that they do around Christmas time. You ever have that? Ugh,
yes.
Oh, so good. Okay, so, yeah, I'm...
Christina, yes, tells him, get over it. She's just doing her job. You've made this whole thing up in your head. There's no sexual tension. I'm so sorry for you and your life. And he's like, no, that's not true. And she's like, it is. And I understand because I'm also doing it, but in the opposite way, where I think someone else is sleeping with someone else and doesn't want to sleep with me.
It's also, the only thing I feel bad on that guy is like, okay, how lonely is your life that you think the kind customer service focused barista at the end of your street is into you because they put little flowers on the top? I don't know. It's also, little sad, actually.
To remind everyone who hasn't recently watched this episode, this is the episode where Christina is like stalking a nurse because she thinks that Owen is having an affair with this specific nurse. Her name is Emily something. And she is like watching her. She sees Owen and her chit-chatting and like kind of flirting. And
she puts her hand on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And sexual tension.
Christina tries to like hack into April's schedule so she can see the nurse's schedule. And April says, she asks about it. April catches her, and so but she just does it for her because like April is being nice. And April says like, oh, she was on day in the critical care unit, but she transferred to nights in the ICU, which is weird, but Dr. Hunt signed off on it. Ooh, that does feel like a red flag.
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused at the end part of the, like, there's other things to talk about this with this here, but that seemed to have kind of triggered the end of the episode where Meredith pulls Christina aside and is like, yo, are we killing someone or is a nuclear bomb going off? But like, just tell me, because I need to know how I'm having your back.
Right.
And it's weird. I want to talk about that scene more and get your perspective on it. But what follows is I think she goes through his email. I paused the screen on the email. It's just about documents. Are we supposed to be led to believe that he's filing for divorce still? Like, this is...
No, I think the emails thing is supposed to just be her not find, because the whole thing where she's searching everywhere, she doesn't find anything.
Okay.
So she looks in the email first, and I think she doesn't find anything. And then she goes to like the phone bill, phone records, whatever. And then she goes to like go through the laundry. But I think the whole thing is
supposed
to just be like,
that's what that was.
Anything, but she just keeps looking because she's like, there has to be something because of the scene with Meredith where she's like, there's nothing, but I know.
So I didn't realize that that was an old printout of all the phone calls of a phone bill.
Right. It took me a minute, too, because I was like, what are you looking at bills for? Like, that's not going to tell you. What do you think? She's like writing him a love letter. And then I was like, oh, that's a phone bill. With like,
yeah.
When you used to get it and it would like say, which you can still request.
You can still. Yeah, I can access it my AT&T app right now.
Carmen and Kelsey talked on the phone for this many minutes at this time of day.
Yeah. And then she is in his laundry. There's nothing in his pockets. His clothes don't smell like perfume.
Well,
I think is what
she was. Well, it seems like she's about to sniff for perfume. And that's when he comes home. And so she doesn't.
Mm. I was confused by that end scene, though. Like, he just comes in. He goes, Christina, visibly, all the lights are off. Okay. Like, I don't walk into a dark room with Jessica and go, hey, Jess.
That's funny, because sometimes Michael will come in and go, are you asleep?
I ignore it.
I was. Yeah, oh, sometimes I just don't respond. I'm like, I'm not going to respond to that.
I just ignore her.
Do it.
If she's awake, she'll tell me she's awake when I get into bed. Or she'll be sitting there on her phone and I can see the light.
I have a very bad habit of falling asleep actively on my phone.
Oh.
So I will like come in and I'll like, because I'm still like touching it, because I fall asleep with like my hand like physically doing
something. You're wild.
I know, it's so bad. You guys, it's so bad for my REM sleep, for my circadian rhythm, whatever the fuck.
What did you just say? Your REM sleep and your cicada rhythm?
Your circadian rhythm.
What do bugs have to do with this?
It's not cicadas, you dumb fuck. I'm so sorry. That was so aggressive.
And this was Grey's Academy. This is it.
The friendship over. No, it's just like another type of the. Because if you have like a solid rhythm, then it's supposed to be like every night you're like on the same schedule. You're going to sleep at the same time. And that's different from your REM cycle, which is what you're doing when you're actually asleep. Just like the rhythm, your body. That's like why with kids, they say like, oh, if you have a regular like schedule of bedtime, then they'll fall asleep easier, which I feel is we go through stages because we're always doing the regular bedtime almost exclusively. And sometimes they are right to sleep. And sometimes they are like, let me tell you every thought I've ever had.
Yeah. Also, let me look into the future and tell you every thought I'm ever going to have.
Like,
let me make it up
as
I go.
Well, she's like, right here hurts. And like point to the most like arbitrary spot on her body, like her cheek, a random spot on her leg. I'm like, what do you want me to do? There's not a boo-boo here. She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, now she'll do it. She also does it in the first thing in the morning when she wakes up. And I'll go, you don't get enough sleep. Your body is sore because you're tired.
Yeah. You're like a bruised banana, little kid.
I'm like, go to sleep for 14 hours. And then probably you'll feel better. But like going to sleep, sleeping for 10 hours is not enough sleep for a 5-year-old. It's just like statistically not enough sleep for someone with a developing brain.
Oh no, they need more than that.
There's well, I think it's supposed to be like closer to 12.
Okay, I think
a large chunk of their childhood.
We're not quite there. That's unfortunate.
It's hard though. I mean, you can't make them go to sleep. Like that's the thing. You just can't do that. And it's not like if you have, you know, a handful of days where that's not happening, that's not going to like ruin her life. But if like every single night your 3, 4, 5-year-old is sleeping like 6 hours, that's probably not great.
Oh yeah. No, no, no. She's closer to 10 regularly. Yeah, yeah.
And it, you know, it might be that she has like the really good REM cycle where she's like getting the really good sleep. So, and maybe that's what happens with Scarlett, and I just don't understand it because I don't have that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Anyway, so I fall asleep with my phone on, so Michael has to ask if I'm awake or not.
Well, I get nervous when Jess falls asleep. She'll fall asleep with the YouTube running of, because she doesn't really listen to the podcast. She likes to look at them, but she'll put it down face up,
yeah,
playing, and then choose to go to sleep because her glasses are off. Yeah. She's choosing to fall asleep to this.
Yeah.
That's funny. Anything else that we should talk about with this? I mean, basically it's sad. They both live normal lives to go on and awkwardly run into each other at this coffee shop.
I'm certain he no longer goes there after this.
I was going to say,
there's
that's my
no
truth.
Way he goes back. Also, if I was her, I would quit. I'd be like, I'm not going to die for coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it's kind of weird. I mean, obviously we have, he's in denial, but yeah, when she says that you see one thing and you know, then you act like it's real, like clearly it's mirroring her situation. So yeah.
Also sometimes people flirt and like, it's harmless.
Totally. And
I don't know if that's like a bad take, but that's how I feel.
I feel the same way. Flirting. It's the intent of your flirting, which is the bad thing.
That is true.
If the intent of my flirting is to get a free dessert.
I was going to say, oftentimes you and I are flirting for free things, and it is not terrible.
No. Did I ever tell you, Steve and I were out one time, I think at a restaurant, and I am like, I'm putting the moves on, and it works. And he's like, you know, I get annoyed when you do that. But it works so frequently that I don't think I have any leg to stand on. And I'm like, Steve, that's the most sensible thing you've ever said in your life.
That's probably true. My thing about it is it annoys me because I know that I am the one that has to deal with your ego about it.
That's fair.
That's fair. Where the annoying part comes in. But I also have benefited from it. So I'm like, ugh.
I have a type, though, that I know it's working. And it's like the old grandmas or like the 18-year-old, like I'm just working through college. Like that's it.
Also, sometimes you can like get a vibe from someone if they're like, I don't get paid enough for this job. And I'm like, I'm right there with you. Let me relate to you on this level.
Yeah.
Oh. You can kind of like grab that feel from the get-go and just kind of play on that. And I'm like, I'm so sorry to inconvenience you. Yeah. They're like, here, just like take this entire store. And I'm like, I will. Thank you so much.
I was actually, when I was in Phoenix, I was at a bar and I had ordered my drink first, but I changed my mind like before I completed my order and paid. But the lady had already started having someone make it. And she's like, oh, don't worry, honey. I'll just let you keep this one anyways. And I was like, oh, I know what you're doing here. But she was very sweet. It was on the corporate card, so I gave her a big tip. So.
Hell yeah, stick it to the man. That's what I'm talking about.
Anyways, it was great.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about the Owen and Christina specifics on the next episode, right after everyone's favorite segment.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.